One thing about Jason, I need to tell you about my weight loss. I don't think I've told you about my weight loss, right? It's evident, right? Well, one thing about Jason, he's trying to keep up with me. He started losing weight too. I think we've started a trend. And here's the reason why on my weight loss, and it's very scientific. I had a plan. You always ought to have a plan, right? Well, here is my plan. Now, I want you to imagine. Now, this is my hair. Okay, this is my hair. This is not my head right here. This is my hair. So here is my plan. My thought was, if I start losing weight, then as I lose weight, then here's what's going to happen. Okay, and all of a sudden, when I get that magic weight, then it's all going to be back together. But somebody came up to me and they said, Brother Dean, that's not the way it works. They said when you lose weight, your skin actually sags. And so I'm worse than I was before I lost my weight. So I told me I've been looking through my belly button, so I've lost so much weight. But anyway, I've had a few health issues, and I thought, let me lose a little bit more. And I went back to the doctor. He said I was pre-diabetic. You got to cut out your sugar and all your carbs. And I did cold turkey, just that. I mean, it was just like putting butter over an open flame. Just overnight, I woke up and here I am, one skeleton of a person, But anyway, that was my real original plan, was the weight loss thing to get my hair back, but it didn't work. So now I had to go out and buy all new suits. But anyway, this morning reminded me of something that happened years ago. I've told you the story. You may not remember it, but I told you years ago how that in Africa, when we started our first church, I got up and I was preaching somebody very young in the language, in the French language, and so I started in the book of Genesis, and I got into chapter number 3, and I was preaching about when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, and I got up and I was preaching, and nobody said anything, nobody laughed, nobody did anything. So after the service, Karen said, do you know what you said tonight? And I said, no. And I said, you said when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, Adam had a baby. Okay, I said that in French. Il a couché. Il s'est caché. Il a couché. So she said this morning, we were going home, going out, and after we left the church, and she did it to me again. She said, do you know what you said this morning? I said, no. And I know about the Haman and the Naaman thing. I mean, that's you can make that kind of mistake. That they were probably twins, except they lived in different centuries. But anyway, she said, when you were praying, you prayed for Brother Jansen. You might catch that. Okay, Brother Jansen. And does he listen to these CDs or anything?
I'm sure he does.
Thanks. You're a blessing. Anyway, what I was thinking while I got sitting there, I thought, God's really, I don't know if he does or not. I'm not sure he does this, but I bet he laughs at old people, They're praying for this, that, and they're not getting anything right, The names don't match. And, it's why old people really are not good at gossiping, because here you're going to talk about somebody, you're sitting there talking about somebody to somebody, and they say, and that person will say that you're talking about me, So you can't even gossip because you don't remember anything. You don't remember people's name, all that stuff. But anyway, Brinson Jennings, I do know, but this morning he had a name changed to Pastor Jansen. Anyway, hopefully he won't listen to it, right? Well, it's good to be here tonight. Would you go with me in your Bibles to the book of Second Chronicles? Almost said Corinthians. And I'd been in the Old Testament. You'd have been in the New. Actually, it's First. I'm looking right at it. It is. Would you tell everybody where we are?
I believe that's Second or First Chronicles.
Okay. First Chronicles, chapter number.
22.
Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 22 is where we are. I may go around the room tonight. I may just take my outline down there and let you read the points all for me. Oh, good night. It's going to be a long night. It's already 6:16. It's like I do truly have a little bit of dyslexia. Truly, I do. And, we don't have OCD. We have CDO. And, it's kind of crazy, but anyway, I'm glad my grandsons aren't here tonight to see the debacle I'm making of everything. First Chronicles chapter 22. And would you stand with me? That's the only thing I can get right tonight. I'm going to pick a few verses out tonight for a scripture reading through the chapter. Then we're going to settle in on verse number 19, okay? Hopefully, and Lord willing, that will be the verse that I hopefully get to tonight. First Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 1. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to work on the house of God. Verse number 5. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. Verse number 7. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it is in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight.'" Verse 14. "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto." Verse number 19. "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build you the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord." And let's pray. Father, again, it's so good to be here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church and to be able to be with these good folks. And we thank you, Father, for all that have made their ways out here today to worship together. And Father, for this evening's service, we've met again, and we pray that you'll bless each one. And Father, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts through your word and help me to be clear of thought and be able to share the things that you have before us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, you know, when we come into the book of First Chronicles, chapter number 22, in order to understand the context of this chapter, we actually got to go back to chapter number 21. In that chapter, we know that David sinned against the Lord in numbering the people, that thing which God had forbidden anybody, any king to do or anyone to do, so that they would not be a people, number one, that would rely upon their own strength and their own might, nor be built up in pride. So there were two reasons for that. And so David numbered the people of God. We know that God gave him, after he numbered the people of the Lord, that God gave him one of three choices to make. And so David chose the less of the three in number. There would be 3 years of famine. There would be 3 months that they would be chased or be pursued by the enemy. The third one was there would be 3 days that there would be pestilence or illness or sickness or disease or plague upon the land. And so David chose the 3 days because he said it's better for us to fall into the hands of the Lord, because he knows that God is merciful. And we know that after those 3 days that there were 70,000 people that lost their lives because of his sin. And so God did something for David that I don't know that God had ever done for him. And that was, God allowed David's eyes to be open, and he saw the angel that was destroying Israel standing there on Mount Moriah. And so he goes up, and that mount area there was owned by Ornan the Jebusite. And so he sees the angel that is there with his sword outstretched, and he goes up there, makes his way, and so he buys from Ornan, he buys this location, he buys the threshing instruments, he buys the oxen, because Ornan is up there threshing wheat, he buys all this from him, and he sacrifices to the Lord, and he's asking God to forgive him of his sin and to give God burnt offerings and peace offerings and sin offerings. And so that is the context. And so the Bible finishes up chapter number 21 and says that David could not go to Gibeon, where was the high place, where the tabernacle was and where the brazen altar was, because he was afraid. He did not go there. And so he made this altar, this place, the altar of the Lord. And then we have in chapter 22, verse number 1, now we have the revelation that God gives to him, gives to David. And the revelation is that this is going to be the place that God has chosen now to build a permanent structure, a permanent place where the people of God could come and worship Him. So that is the context. Now, when we look at this evening, we're going to talk tonight about the reality that even though God had put it into His heart, into His mind to build the temple for the Lord, that God told him back in chapter number 7 of the book of 2 Samuel that he, because he was a man of war, he had blood on his hands from all the men that he had killed and had sent to war, that he would not be allowed to do what his heart wanted him to do. The desire of his heart was to build the temple. God said, you're not going to do it. But I'm going to let your son that's going to follow you be the one to build the temple. And so chapter number 22 is actually now the leading up to the building of the temple. He talks about in that chapter all the things that Solomon, or that David rather, is doing to get this thing set in motion, or David is, and through Solomon, and the things that God is going to do out later on, and all the preparation for it, and all the things that he did. So I want to look back to verse number 19 now, and I want to share with you three things, because let me ask you a question. And this is nothing for the young people because they're still young. How many of us old people ever thought that we would ever get old? Okay? I thought that I would die before I ever lost my hair. Okay? I thought that, you know, the Lord's going to come back. You know, we never thought when we were young that we would ever reach the age of maturity, okay, of old age. We never thought we'd get there. But I want you to know it is just like that. Like that. But I will also tell you on the same hand that we have no promise that being a young person that you will ever become old. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. But here we have a man that God put something in his heart. And may I say, by the way, has God ever put anything in your heart that you felt God wanted done? Anything, you know, we have dreams and plans, but has anything ever been that came from God? Well, that all that we have here in this chapter, God put it in his heart. God put it there. And so when I think about, here's this man, and now he's going to give instruction to these men. And here's what I believe. In order for them to be able to do what David wanted them to do, they had to be able to have the heart and have everything that David had to give what he gave and to do all that he did. They had to do that. And so verse number 19 is the verse of scripture that is going to help us tonight to be able to do, because we don't know what's going to come next. We may have young children. We may have grandchildren. Some even may have great-grandchildren. But here's the thing that David was doing. David was going to prepare before he died so that what God had put in his heart would come to pass. So he wasn't going to be able to be there to see it happen, but he was going to do everything possible to make sure that what God put in his heart, it would come to pass, even though he wouldn't be the one to see it happen. So let me share these three things with you and we'll be done. So verse number 19, these three thoughts. Look at the first part of the verse. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. May I tell you tonight that if we're going to do anything for God, if we are going to be able to leave behind anything that is going to last for God, we're going to have a heart that is going to seek God. I believe that David on the hills of Bethlehem, and you know, by the way, he was all alone out there, I believe, most of the time. My wife was the baby of her family, and there's a lot of good things about being the baby, but she was the baby. And in the day in which we live, usually the baby is the spoiled. Can I say it like we say it in the South? Spoiled. Okay. The spoiled one. Rotten to the core. I had my baby brother. Good. Not, I was the second child, you know, of four boys, and the second child's always got the hardest and the worst, and we're pitiful. Really, we are. But my baby brother, I mean, he named it. He could claim it and he got it. That's just about the way it was. You know, I mean, he never got beat. My mom used to use these big, not little switches. I mean, she used poles on us, man. It's a wonder we're even alive today. But not my baby brother. No, oh my goodness. But you know what? In that day, it was not that way with the youngest. Dad would tell the oldest. He would tell the next, he would tell the next, and here's poor David left alone, and he had to do whatever the rest didn't want to do. And so all these years and all this time, he was out on the hillsides with that little flock of sheep. As a matter of fact, when Jesse was coming in to anoint the king, the next king of Israel, here comes all of the sons of Jesse, and God said, no, 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 no. And do you have any more? Yeah, we got one. He's out yonder taking care of them sheep. But can I tell you why he was out there? Can I tell you what he was doing out there as he was tending those sheep? He was seeking God. He wasn't an old man. He wasn't a middle-aged man. He was just a kid that had a heart for God. Would to God that we adults would instill in the hearts of our children this thing of being able to love God. A lot of people think that David, well, if I seek God, if I put God first, if I love God with all of my heart, you know what? I'm just going to be a sissy. Hey, let's bring David up here and let's set David up here and you call him a sissy and let's see how many pieces are left of you when he gets done with you. David was, the Bible says, a man of war. David, he wrote poetry and songs. He made instruments. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. David was a man's man, but he was a man that sought God and loved God. Loved God. When I look at those two words, your heart and your soul, that means with every part of my being, I've got to seek God with all of me. Would you allow me for just a moment to take these two words? He says in that verse of scripture I read, he says, now set your heart and your soul to seek. Let me take these two words, the word set and the word seek, for just a moment. And I want to look at these two words and give you a little bit of definition for these two words so that we can understand what it means to set our soul to seek the Lord and have the kind of heart that would seek God. First of all, we have the word set. The word set, it means to charge. It means to direct. It means to commit. Okay? So when I'm going to seek God, that means I'm going to have to do something deliberately. You know why? Nobody ever accidentally ever sought after God. You just didn't wake up one morning, oh, okay, there's the Lord. No, you deliberately seek God. That's what David said in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm verse number 42, verse number 1. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It's that little heart, that little deer-like animal was so thirsty and craving that water so greatly that he sought after that water so that his thirst might be quenched. That's this word. So it is a deliberate choice that I make in my life. I choose to seek God. It's a deliberate action that I take. A deliberate action that I take. Because I just don't sit on my hands or twiddle my thumbs. And then, you know what? It is action. I mean, I've got to be in God's Word. I've got to be in God's house. I've got to be in my prayer closet. I have got to seek God with my whole heart. That's the word set. It means to direct, to charge, to commit. The second word is the word seek, and let me take just a little bit longer with this one, because this one has three interesting definitions for this word seek. The first word is the word which means to tread upon or to tread. And when I think about this word tread, it literally means to wear out a path. Now, I know some of you raised your hand this morning. You've been around livestock and things like that. But I know all of us have been out riding around, joyriding or whatever. Have you ever gone down a road, a country road or whatever, and you saw a pasture, a field out there where there are cattle? Okay, not so much on flat ground, but where there are hills, have you ever noticed on some of those hills that there is a trail around the side of those hills? Anybody ever seen that around? Am I imagining? Thank you so much. I thought for a second I was imagining that something I really hadn't seen. Now, let's get Hamby-like for just a moment, and I want you to think about something. What was the first cow that ever went down that trail when there wasn't a trail? There had to be a first. There was no trail. But here's the cow, and he started walking out this down around the side of that hill. And that trail that will take them out to the pasture is going to be the same trail that's going to bring them back. There had never been a cow that went down that way before. But someday or one day, this cow said, hey, you know what? I'll bet you. Well, they weren't supposed to bet, but they didn't know any better. They're cows, you know. What are you going to do? But this cow said, I'll bet you on the other side of that hill, there's some pretty green grass. So he gets up and, or she, whatever the case may be. Heifer, whatever, you know. And that cow is just plodding along and starts making some hoof prints in the ground. Okay, the first one that ever went on the other side. And that thing comes back in and starts a, I mean, that mouth's all green. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing prettier to a bull than a heifer with a green mouth. I'm telling you right now. That's lipstick to a cow, right? You know. Comes back. Let me tell you what's on the other side of that hill. He gets up the next morning. She gets up the next morning and begins to go down that same path. And other cows begin to go down that same path. And we go down the road and we look, hey, there is a trail over there that is worn. I mean, so worn that even water makes a trail, takes that same path and cuts a little bit more of it. Think about it now. The first cow that ever went down that path is dead and you ate it. Okay? It is gone. That first cow that ever went down that path is gone. But the cows are still going down that same path. The same path. That's this word. To seek. It means to tread. It means to wear out a path. Number two, it doesn't just mean to wear out a path. Got to lick my finger, excuse me. I'll be sure to use the stuff back there to make sure you don't shake a dirty hand. The second thing is the word, it means to frequent. To seek means to frequent. So first I have a thing that means to wear out a path. This means to wear out your welcome. You, have you ever, we won't go there because I don't want to make, you know. Have you been the one? Have you ever worn out your welcome? Now let me tell you something. God would never do this. But if God did do this, would He say this about you? Listen to me carefully. Would God ever say this about you? Would God ever say this about me? Oh no. Here He comes again. Here He comes again. And I wear out my welcome. Because I'm there always with I'm He will never say that. But if He ever did, would He say that about you? This is the word. I've got to set my heart and my soul to wear out my welcome before God. The third word is a word that means to pursue. This word pursue, it means to wear out yourself. I think about a man by the name of Jacob, and because of his conniving and his tricking along with his mother, they have tricked Isaac into giving the blessing to the birthright and all to Jacob instead of to his brother Esau. And now he's gone, he's left, and now he's coming back home, and now we come and Jacob is almost home, and he is under a real threat. Of being killed at the hand of his brother Esau for all that he had done from him, from stealing his birthright, from stealing the blessing, from taking it all. And so we have this man, Jacob, that has crossed over a brook, and it's just him and a man, the Bible says, a man. Could it have been the Lord Jesus that wrestled with him that night? But we find that because he was under this real threat, that he held on to this man all night long. And the man said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. Now listen, he had been blessed by his father. But he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Oh. We can be blessed by our parents with good material things. A fine house and a car and all the things that a mom and dad can provide. Oh, but Jacob said, I need you to bless me. May I say this evening, more than anything that this world could ever give us, we need God to bless us. We need God. This world has so much to throw at our children and to throw at us. We need God. Have you ever worn out yourself
not just going before God and wrestling with God until God blessed you. And he hung on, and he hung on. And may I tell you tonight that Jacob, when he left that wrestling place that day, that next morning, he was never the same. And it was evident to everybody that ever came in contact with him again that he was never the same, because that man touched his thigh, and the sinew of his thigh shrank, and he hobbled, he limped to the day he died, because that was the turning point when his name went from being a trickster to Israel, a prince of God. May I say this evening that this is that word. And if he's telling these princes of Judah, of Israel, Solomon needs help. This temple is too big for him. And you got to help him. But if you're going to do it, here's what you got to have to do. You're going to have a heart that seeks God. And number two, would you look what this verse of Scripture says? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. The second thing we need is we need a heart to serve the Lord. This morning in your bulletin, you were given a piece of paper that talks about the service of your church and things that you can say, here's what I can do and here's what I want to do. And you know, I believe there's something in the church for everybody to do if we'll just do it. And here's what he's saying. If we're going to do something for God that is going to last, it's going to be our service to God that is what's going to count. Service to God, our service. And so he says, arise therefore and build for the work of God, for the sanctuary of the Lord. Because can I tell you what? If we're going to do anything for God, it means we're going to have to get our hands dirty for his honor and for his glory. When I think about these verses of Scripture, did you know that the word prepare, because David, he prepared. The word prepared is used four times. And we see a list of things that he prepared. But let me just tell you how he prepared, not what he prepared, because you can see what he prepared. But how did he prepare? Well, first of all, David prepared out of his own treasures. You know, I'm always willing to give what you got. I'm not willing to give what I got. Now, if I had two toupees, I'd be willing to give one of my toupees if I had two toupees. In my line of work, it's called a three-pay, because a toupee isn't big enough. You know, it doesn't stretch down far enough. But David gave out of his own treasure. I like this verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, not where. So we get it reversed. We say where my heart is, that's where I'm going to put my treasure. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says is where I'm putting my treasure is where my heart's going to be. One day, my wife and I got on a plane many years ago, and we had two little babies with us. We got on a plane in Atlanta, Georgia, and we took off to Ivory Coast, West Africa. And back in those days, you could go right to the gate. And I'll tell you how long ago it was. It was Eastern Airlines from here to New York, and then it was Pan Am Airlines. The kids were saying, well, Pan Am Airlines the rest of the way over. And we went all the way up. They took us right up to where you board the plane. And my mom and Karen's mom, they did something they had never done in their life. We received letters from my mom every week or so. And my mom always had cartoons in it. Funny newspaper, the cartoons in it, the comics, and two pieces of juicy fruit chewing gum. My mom and dad had never done that. Karen's mom and dad had never done that. But that day in Atlanta, Georgia, their treasure got on a plane. And when that treasure got on the plane, I'm not talking about me and Karen, I'm talking about these little grandchildren. Those two little grandkids got on the plane, unbeknownst to us that day, their hearts got on the plane with us. Oh. May God be our treasure. May the work of God be the place where we put our treasure. For where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And this is what our children will see, and our grandchildren. This is what, maybe you don't have children or grandchildren. Others that know you can see that you're real, that you're real. You're genuine. David prepared and gave out of his own treasure. David, verse number 5, he prepared for his own testimony. Verse number 5 says, and David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the Lord and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Next, when y'all start, I don't know, when do y'all start in school? Probably tomorrow, the way school, the way summer goes, probably tomorrow. Go into school and you start talking about, boy, this is exceeding magnificent. You know what they're going to do? They're going to look at you like you are a nut. Okay. But I love this word magnificent. It means with grandeur and excellence. Well, he says, I want this building, this temple of God to be exceeding magnificent. I want it to be glorious and splendor. Why? Here's the reason. Because he said, of the fame and glory throughout all countries. You know what I believe David's testimony was in the bottom line? He wanted everybody to know about the Lord. What a testimony. He wanted everybody to know about the Lord. He wanted all the world to hear about His God. That's what he wanted to know. So he was preparing for his own testimony so that they might know him. As a matter of fact, did you know it's not called David's temple? Whose temple is it? You know what I found out? When you're doing it, for you, all you're doing is just, you know, it's just for you. But he's doing it for the Lord, not for himself. The last thing I see in verse number 14, the first part of the verse, now behold, in my trouble have I prepared for the house of the Lord. So he did it out of his treasure, and now he's doing it out of his trouble. Out of his trouble, in spite of all of his trouble. Boy, you talking about somebody had trouble. All of his enemies, he has had war on every side. His own family problems, you see, out of his own personal problems of his own sin. But you know what? In spite of all that, he just kept on serving God and loving God. A lot of people say, well, because I've done this, I can't serve God. But you can. You can. And so, you know what he was doing? You know what he was doing when David said, I've prepared out of my treasure. I've prepared for my testimony. I've prepared out of my trouble. You know what he was doing? He was leaving all these people standing around there that day without any excuse of why they couldn't serve the Lord, seek the Lord. He did that. So, last of all, not only do we have a heart to seek God, a heart to serve God, but we need to have a heart set apart for God. Look with me, verse number 19 again. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord. Now look at this last part. To bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house of the Lord, into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. You know, the tabernacle that was built in the wilderness there at Mount Sinai by Moses and the people of God, that tabernacle became the heart of Israel. That's where they gathered for everything. They gathered there 3 times a year. It was mandatory that all the men come. But that was the heart of Israel. But did you know for almost 125 years thereabouts, did you know that there was a problem? The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen away by the Philistines in chapter number 4 of the book of 1 Samuel. And now, for up until about 25 years prior to this text I just read to you, David had gone down to a place, to a man's house whose name was Obed-Edom, and he had brought the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, so the Ark had been there with him. He'd made another little tent, put the Ark of the Covenant there, and so now for all of those years, for 125 years, the Ark, the heart of Israel, had been divided. The Ark was with David, had been with Obed-Edom and these others, but now was with David. The rest of the tabernacle, the tabernacle itself, the brazen altar and all the rest of it had been in Gibeon and Shiloh, different places. And so there had been the heart of Israel, the tabernacle had been divided. Here's my last point. He's saying, I want you to build this sanctuary for the Lord so that you can bring the Ark of the Covenant and all of these other things that have been separated for all these years back together again. You know, the worst thing that can happen in a church is a divided church. The worst thing that can happen in a family is a divided family and a heart to have a divided heart. So here's my third point. We need to have a heart that's set apart just for God. Not divided up into little pieces and say, well, this piece is for this, and this piece is for this, and this piece is for that. But all of my heart is for God. And here's what I found out. If all of my heart is for God, the thing that I thought I really needed and really wanted that is really godly and good, God will let me have that if it's really in His will and His plan. God will bless me if my heart is all for Him. And for Him alone. I don't have to worry if it's all about Him in my heart. And I surrender it all to Him for my life. Now, David said, He won't let me do it. I can't build it. But you're going to build it. And can I tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful that, and I think I forget when this church was started, but maybe back in the 1400s or something like that. I'm not sure when, but some of you all were here back then, you know. But you still got this church that's been here for all these years and years and years and years and years. Wouldn't it be wonderful that when we're all dead and gone and all these kids are all dead and gone, we're all dead and gone and the next generation comes, that they can still have a place like you've had to have a place to be able to serve the Lord. That will happen if you have a heart that's set apart just for God. So, he said, if you're going to have this kind of thing, you have to have a heart set apart for God, a heart that will serve God, and a heart that seeks God. And if that'll happen, you're going to have a heart and a place that is going to go on for the honor and glory of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I don't know your heart. I don't know your need. But the Lord sure does. Whatever your need is this evening, I pray that you'll find it all in Him. Whatever your need is, that He will meet the need of your heart. Father, I pray this evening that as we have this time of invitation, our hearts would be set upon You, that we would serve You, live for You, to be faithful to You. Thank You for Your blessing and for Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.